Amen. Let the church rise. If you want to turn to Matthew 28. As you turn in there, just rehearse. Remember last week we talked a little bit about the end time. Read from Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 2 was one of the things that I wanted you to leave here with. And feedback from phone calls and talking to people, running into people around town, most grasp the point of that we're in the end time. But many of you missed one of the points that I was wanting us to leave here with. And it's this, Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In this end time stretch, in this end time run, to which we know Word talks about it'd be perilous times. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have trials. We're going to have obstacles that we're going to have to overcome. We're going to feel the pressures. We're going to feel like we're in a pressure cooker. The Bible talks about men's hearts would fail them for fear or anxiety, stress. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, every family at least, and most of us as individuals are being affected with stress and pressure. Some of it is self-imposed. Some of it is imposed by society. Some is imposed with false expectations that we're trying to live up to of other people. But stress and pressure. And with that thought, the Lord moved on me this morning to go back to what many would see as an untimely passage of Scripture. But let me say this. The Easter message is never untimely. It's the one thing that distinguishes and differentiates Christianity from every other religion. That empty tomb. That empty tomb where Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave sets us apart from all of the philosophical prepositions and all of the beliefs in those who are still in a grave. Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, if we're going to finish the stretch the way we need to finish it, we've got to go here. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They fainted, them big old soldiers. And the angel answered and he said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came to beheld him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came to the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money to the soldiers, saying, say you, or ye say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. See, it was a killing offense if you went to sleep on guard duty. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appeared to them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. That's what I want to focus on these next four verses. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. As we go down this home stretch, as we're reaching to that place to press forth, to break the finish line, to receive the prize that we run for, it's absolutely imperative that we remember why we run. It's important that we remember this Easter message, because in it we find the strength, the hope, the power to live the victorious life. I want to talk to you about three things from this passage of Scripture. First of all, verse 18, where Jesus said, all power. I refer to this passage a lot because I have to constantly remind myself that no matter what I face, no matter how big it is, no matter how serious it is, no matter how it appears to be impregnable, I have to remember the one whom I serve has all power. In the Old Testament, it says, is there anything too hard or difficult for the Lord? Nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not some power, not limited power, not occasional power, all power. The power to convict and save, the power to heal, the power to rain down the miraculous upon us in whatever form or fashion is needed. We have a gentleman in our audience tonight. 3 weeks, well, 4 weeks ago now, the Lord was moving at the end of the service, and we said, if you need healing in your body, is it okay if I tell this? I'm going to tell it anyway. Man was losing blood. Doctors couldn't figure out why or where. And he said, when you said if you need healing in your body, stand. And I stood. And he said, preacher, when I did, something happened that I've never experienced before. There was like a wind that blew through me. And I believe that I'm healed. Last week, last Thursday, 3 weeks after that, he came up and he says, preacher, those doctors are scratching their head and they can't figure out why I'm not bleeding anymore. Another man in our midst, he doesn't have a clue I'm going to tell this. I'm going to tell it anyway. Been hurting every day. Knee. Wearing knee brace. Hurting all day, every day. Stood last Thursday. He ain't hurt since. He ain't wore that knee brace. I'm trying to tell you that this Jesus that we serve is not this mystical existence that's out there somewhere that's unapproachable and isn't concerned about our issues and our problems and our health and our needs, because he is. And he's approachable. He wants us to come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He wants us to come to be honest with him, to confront our situations, to entrust him to become involved in our lives, in our homes, in our jobs, in our families, in our needs. You see, it's not my reputation that's on the line. It's his. And he's got the power that's needed to do whatever is needed at the time it needs to be done. The Hootens used to sing that song, he's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. All power. Good thing is, when he shows up with the power. So you've got to remember that. Secondly, in verse 19, known as the Great Commission, he tells us, go ye therefore. We've been given instruction as his children. You and I, all of us, not just preachers, all of us, to get out there in the highways and the byways and to compel them to come to Christ. Get out there and to let our light so shine before men that our Father in heaven may be glorified. You see, a little light dispels a whole lot of darkness. When we get out there and we live a life in such a way that even though we may not say anything, just our life brings glory to God. The Word says that your life is a living epistle or a book known and read of all men. What are they reading? Are they reading the pages of your life that you're a servant of the Most High God? They see you go through the same situations and face the same trials and problems that they do, but you have a different outlook about it. You have a different attitude than they did. Why? It's because you realize you're serving the one that's got the power, and you're just simply obeying your marching orders from him to go and to serve and to do, to be a doer of his word, to help everyone that you can help, to spread a word of kindness, to give a shoulder for someone to cry on, to help them out of a ditch, to pick them up when they fall. I love the analogy of how Moses, when the armies of Israel would fight, and he would hold his hands up, what happened? They won. One day they were in such a big battle, and it went on and on and on, that he grew weary and his arms began to fall and Israel began to lose. And so Aaron, his brother, got on one side of him and Hur got on the other side, and they raised his hands back up so that Israel could prevail. I want you to know that in life, at some point in time, you're going to need to be the one that has your hands held up, or you're going to need to be there to hold someone else's hands up. You see, we're to be encouragers of the brethren. We're to be there to say, you can do it. We're there to help. Speak a word of hope. Speak a word of life. Speak a word of encouragement. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and unfortunately, too many people in churches across America of all denominations, we go around with this sad look on our face and this downcast spirit about us, and all we got to do is murmur and complain about everything. Ain't nobody wants your God. Not if that's the way you're going to act. Recognize the fact that I'm in a battle. But I'm going to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to look to the Lord, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm not going to look to the right nor to the left. I'm going to keep my focus fixed upon Jesus. I'm going to get my marching orders from him. I'm going to do what his word says. Not live a life of fear, but live a life of faith. Therefore, I go into victory. I used to be on staff at Evangel. Don't throw rocks. I used to be on staff at Evangel. And we have some young men in this audience tonight that were on the first couple of state championship teams that they had over there. And I'll never forget the first year that we went to that Superdome to play in the state championship game. The first team from Kettle Parish in 25 years. First Shreveport team to play in the Superdome. The pressure mounted, and it built up. We were up to 14-point underdogs. We walk into this Superdome with a group of players, many of whom had never been out of Cedar Grove. Wow. We take the field, did our warm-ups, went through our plays. We go back to the locker room to final talks before we go out and kick it off. And I'll never forget what head coach Dennis Dunn said. Tony, Jeff, they were on that team. If I'm lying, speak up. Coach Dunn stepped up among those young men and he said, if you're nervous, get it out. Tens of thousands of people roaring out there. If you're nervous, get it out. How do you get it out? We've got a good game plan. We've got a coaching staff that's going to make the necessary adjustments in the course of the game. Believe in yourself. Believe in that man next to you. And take the field and execute the plan that we have. We will walk off of that field victorious and champions. What's that got to do with the sermon I'm preaching? I'll tell you. You're living in a world where it causes fear to come upon you if you're not careful. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and of a sound mind. And if you're fearful, get it out. And you can get it out because we got a good game plan. It's called the Word of God. We've got a coaching staff called the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit and the discernment of Spirit. And our offensive and defensive coordinators, Jesus Christ, sits in the press box overlooking the plays. And he's calling down the necessary adjustments in life to where he can call the plays. If we'll go execute them, we'll be victorious and we'll be champions. And we'll walk out of there with our heads held high, giving praise and glory and honor to look what the Lord has done again. Because you see, with that great commission, don't forget the fact that with a commission comes authority. And you've got authority as a child of God when you walk in, stand on, and use the Word of God. Thirdly, and I'll close, verse 20. He says, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We've got to remember that his presence is with us. Whether we go to the heights of the mountains or the depths of the seas, whether we're in good times or bad, tough times, lonely times, you're not alone. Because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the very end. I assure you, if we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we learn, remember these three little points from this passage of Scripture, and there's a whole lot more in that passage to preach, but these are the three that I want us to grasp and to get in our spirit so that we can finish strong for the Lord. We don't need anybody falling by the wayside going down this home stretch. We need to be there to encourage and pick up and help, and let's get across the line for victory in Jesus. Share this with you real quick. This is some of the stuff. This is another sermon in itself. This is some of the stuff that he's given us to have the power to overcome. He's given us his blood to cleanse our sins. He's given us his blood to plead over the doorpost of our homes. Remember, the Passover lamb came and applied the blood to the doorpost so that when death angel come, it passed by. When we pray, plead the blood of Jesus over your home, over your kids, over your business. Let that blood cleanse you. He's given us his word for power. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. It's important, it's imperative that when we're in the wilderness of temptation that we learn to stand upon the word of God. That's why it's, you have to hide the word of God in your heart so that you can use the word. He's given us his name, the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that demons tremble at the sound of that name. I want to encourage you to, if you're guilty of this, I'm not rebuking you, I'm trying to encourage you. If when you pray, you're one of those that say, we ask this in your name, amen. Go on and include the name Jesus. We ask this in the name of Jesus, because see, at the sound of his name, there's power. Invoke his name. Use his name. And then he's given us his spirit. In August, we're going to be having Scott Kemp teach on the Holy Spirit. One of the things, and it has the many, many things the Holy Spirit does, but one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is it empowers us. It empowers us. Remember these. Finish strong. Be a winner. Bring glory to God. Pleasure to your life. Would you bow your heads and I'll close?